How many of you know that you could be doing good in your business and be bombing out spiritually? How many of you know you could be up to date on your mortgage payments and you could be really, really out of date in your spiritual life?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. Pastor Mark, this is the second half of your message, your spiritual wake-up call. Wow, what a important title. Tell us what's happening in the second part.
You know, I love the verse in verse 20 that says, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And we've, you know, Joshua, we've heard that for evangelistic calls, but this is not calling an unbeliever. This is actually Jesus saying, I'm outside of your house, believer, and I'm knocking at the door, and I want to get further into your house. And I love that because he's saying to us that if you hear him, which means that these believers had stopped hearing the knock of God. And I believe that the step out of lukewarmness is to once again invite the presence of Jesus in every single area of our life.
You believe that this message itself could be that very knock on the heart of somebody listening today?
I think it could be. I believe that God uses a lot of things, even radio voices. You may be listening to this message right now, driving in your car, at home, at work, just happen to tune in. And it could be that God is saying, hey, I got your attention. Listen to this message because this could be a turnaround moment in your life.
And how do you feel about the fact that Jesus is actually pursuing? You know, even though all of these churches, even though they've grown cold or walked away or got it wrong, Jesus is pursuing them.
I love that, Joshua. I love the fact that he's not just sitting back saying, come to me. He's knocking at the door. That's the heart of God, the heart of God to chase after you. And some of you right now are experiencing the grace of God that he's chasing after you through this radio message. Mm.
This is your spiritual wake-up call. How to escape spiritual lukewarmness from Revelation chapter 3. Let's go there now.
Spiritually speaking, what the Spirit of God says to the Church of Laodicea is that you have a denial problem. You are not admitting how spiritually bad off you are. You think that because your mortgage is paid, and you think that because you drive a car that's only 2 years old, and you think that because you're dressed nice and your kids go to a private school, you think that life is okay. You think that you're doing well. You say, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I'm okay. I'm not like those people out there that really, they really need God. You talk about needing God. I know some people really need God. Pastor, you need to go talk to them. But what the Spirit of God says is you think that because on the outside you look okay, you're denying where you're really at spiritually. Because spiritually speaking, he says, if I were to open up the spiritual realm, and if you were to look at yourself really spiritually where you're at, he says you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind, and you're naked. Spiritually speaking, you're a mess. But you cover it up on the outside and act like everything is okay. But how many of you know what we are on the outside is not always what we are on the inside? How many of you know that you could be doing good in your business and be bombing out spiritually? How many of you know you could be up to date on your mortgage payments and you could be really, really out of date in your spiritual life? How many of you know that you can dress in the latest fashion? And you could look well put together on the outside, but inside, you could be really, really struggling. Really, really going through a hard time. And what the Spirit of God says to the Church of Laodicea is, you on the outside seem like you have it well, but on the inside, you're not what you're not what you look like on the outside. And he basically puts his finger on the root of the problem. Oh, this problem is so severe, so tough. This problem is what causes the heart of Jesus to turn. This problem has been present from the day of creation. This problem caused Adam and Eve to fall. This problem caused the angelic being that was once known as Lucifer, the guardian of God's glory, to become the enemy of his soul and that we currently know as the devil. This problem has been at the root of a lot of the ills and maladies of our spiritual condition and soul. It's odorless. It camouflages itself so that we barely see it at times and barely notice it at times. But it is the antithesis of humility. It is the enemy of brokenness. It is the drainer of spiritual life. And it's simply called this: pride. Pride. You see, the thing about pride is that we live in a society in which certain types of pride are almost applauded in our society as though it's good for you to have. When we see someone that's self-sufficient, that doesn't need anybody, that pulls himself up by their own bootstraps, that seems like they have it all together, that seems like they can control the situations around them, we look and say, yeah, now that's a guy that has it all together. Yeah, oh yeah, there's someone. Now that's a leader. But pride is like carbon monoxide. It's something that oftentimes we can't put our finger on immediately because it's not as visible as so many other things. But it's more deadly. It's more lethal. It seems like every year in Chicago, there's some family that goes to bed unsuspectingly, and because of some malfunction in their heating system, this odorless, imperceivable gas begins to seep out into the house, and while they are sleeping, it begins to penetrate their mind and their senses. It begins to knock them into subconsciousness, and when they're sleeping, they never wake up, and someone finds them the next day dead because of this odorless, invisible enemy has invaded their household. You see, pride is that odorless, invisible enemy that can destroy our spirit and our soul. What pride tells you is this. Pride says, I don't need anybody. Pride says, I am self-sufficient, self-confident, self-contained. I don't need anybody. I don't have to get help from anything or anyone because I can handle all my issues on my own. That's pride. And when it comes to God, pride is the ultimate insult to the grace and power of God. When you see someone proud, you'll see someone that doesn't pray very much because why do they need to go to God when they can handle 90% of the problems on their own? You see, the problem with wealth is that it gives us a certain degree. The problem with material possessions is it gives us a certain degree of insulation, a certain degree of thinking. That we're safe and okay. Visit some countries that have less wealth than America, and you'll find a humility there that does not exist in this country because people are poorer, because they know hunger. When I was in Mozambique, Africa, I saw a lot less pride because I'd walk into people's huts. Dirt floors, people that were hungry, dying of malaria or AIDS, people that the average length of life is 40 years old. When you realize that you lack, you have a tendency of being less proud. When you think that you have resources and you think you can buy things and you think that you're okay, you tend to be a little bit more proud. But strip someone of all of the resources that they have, and strip someone of the false sense of the security that materialism gives, and sometimes you'll see someone suddenly crumble and acknowledge their need for God. But it only happens oftentimes when we're stripped of our false sense of security. This church, the church of Laodicea, was living in denial. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. That's why scripture said God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, our pride makes it hard for us to come to an altar and say, I need prayer, I need God. Because pride tells us, what are other people going to think, that I got problems? That I have issues? I mean, I may go up and pray, and people may think, oh, this person, look, yeah, of course, they got problems. Pride makes us during worship time have a hard time expressing our devotion to God, especially men. I've had men tell me, I've been in a worship service and tears started coming down to my eyes, and I fought them, and I didn't want anybody to see that I was weak. I didn't want anybody to know that inside it was hitting me. Why? Pride. Admit that I have issues. Admit that I need help. Admit that there's weakness within my soul and spirit and heart. Pride causes us to never want to say, I'm sorry. Because it's admitting I was wrong. Pride causes you to excuse the issues around you. Pride causes you not to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I was wrong. Because pride thinks that it's never wrong. It wants the other person to apologize because it's always the other person's fault.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, How to Escape Spiritual Lukewarmness. It's from our series called Deeper, Going Beyond Shallow Spirituality. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Our message is called How to Escape Spiritual Lukewarmness.
Listen, spiritual pride takes away our fervency, our desire, our hunger to pray, to worship, to get into the Word, to be there, to acknowledge our need of God, because spiritual pride says you're okay, you can handle it on your own. The first thing is that we break the denial mindset and admit our spiritual condition. Secondly, he goes on to say in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. This is interesting language, because Jesus, the Spirit of God, is saying to this church, I counsel you, I give you advice that you need to buy from me. He uses the language of commercial language, the language of trade that they understood. To buy from you? They would throw up their arms and say, what can you give us? What do we need to buy from you that we don't already have? Look, the three things that they were most proud of was their gold, their wool, and their medicine. And what do we need from you, God, that we don't already have? God says to him, the Spirit of God says to him, the three things that you're proud of the most really won't get you anywhere, because you need something more than what you have. Listen to me. You need something more than what you have. He says, your gold? I'm going to tell you something about your gold. The gold that you have is not going to last. You need to buy real gold. real gold that's refined by fire. You see, the thing about fire is that fire burns things and purifies things. Listen, there are people during this economic collapse and crunch that we've had in this nation, there have been people that have committed suicide because the wealth that they had accumulated as they saw the stock market plunge, their entire worth and value and identity was in what they had, and they saw all their security go, so they thought life is not worth living. One man killed his entire family and then took a revolver to his head and shot himself. Another man was in the news not too long ago where he took a plane, tried to fake his own death. Remember that? You see, suddenly, when people start losing things, they start realizing what I had my confidence in, really, what I had my identity and confidence in, wasn't as confident as I thought it was. Let me tell you something about security and material wealth and cars and possessions and health that you have and career that you have. All of that is temporary, and all of that is subject. It could be here in a moment and be gone the next moment. I may talk to a man and a man may say, I don't care how the economy goes because I got a strong back. As long as I have a strong back, as long as I have my health, I can do. Let me tell you something. You know, health can go in a moment too. Health can go in a moment. All it takes is a car accident. All it takes is a visit to the hospital when you're diagnosed with some sort of form of cancer or heart disease. All it takes is a moment. Listen, you may think that you're healthy as a bull, but I've done funerals of people that thought they were healthy and had a long time to live. Listen, your health is not invulnerable. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know. See, I got my wealth put away. I got a couple houses. I got some pension. All that is good. But all it takes is a couple turns in the stock market, a couple bad investments, a couple turns in the economy that you have no control over to lose much of what you have. All it takes is a little like that. That's all it takes. And what God says to these people is, hey, your gold, you need real gold. Gold that lasts into eternity. Gold that you have that when you die, you can carry it with you, because this is not the gold of the mineral type. This is gold of works, of your life, of something that values, something that's inside of you that no one can take away from you. And he says, I counsel you to buy from me white clothes to wear. See, they were proud of their clothes. They were proud of their mercantile textile industry. And he says, hey, the clothes that you have that you're proud of, you need real clothes. The clothes of my righteousness. The clothes that covers your shame and your nakedness. Not the pearly white clothes you have. Not the dresses that you have, not the latest fashions that you have that you're so proud of, but you need to clothe yourself with something that will last more than that. Something that covers your shame, something that covers your nakedness, something that covers your sin. It's my righteousness and my forgiveness that can clothe you. And then he says, I counsel you to buy ointment to put on your eyes. Oh, they were so proud of their ointment. They were so proud of their healing power. And he says, I counsel you to buy the ointment that only I can give you. You see, if you put this ointment on your eyes, then you'll really be able to see. He's talking about their spiritual eyes really being open. In essence, what he's telling them is the very things that right now you have all your confidence in. He says, you need to realize that ultimately, listen to me. Oh, if I could preach this, I wish I could. Look up at me for a second. You need to realize that ultimately what you really need, what you really desire, what can really fill you is not found in anything down here. It's found in only what God can give to your life. You see, the problem with that, though, is that many of us feel like we have no hunger or thirst for God. You say, well, Pastor Mark, I wish I had more hunger for God. I wish I had more desire to seek Him and worship Him and pray. But I don't. I don't know why it's not there. I mean, I go to church because I know I should, so I drag myself in here, but I'm not really into it. I don't really have a hunger to get into the Word during the week. I don't have a hunger to worship. I barely pray. I mean, I know I should, and there's a guilt inside of me that says you need to pray more. You need to talk to God more. You need to witness. And I know all the things that I should because I've been taught that I should do those things, but I have no desire to do them. I have no hunger to do them. I have nothing inside of me that says, yeah, I really want to do this. I don't know what my problem is. I know what your problem is. You see, I know that just like your physical body, without food, you're hungry. You were meant to hunger for food because it gives you nutrients. And when you don't have food, you get hungry inside. It's just natural. No one has to teach you to be hungry. When you don't eat, you get hungry. Like some of you are already hungry right now saying, okay, Pastor Lucy. Unless you only lose your appetite when you fill yourself on stuff that is not nutritional but fills your stomach. Try this. Right before it's mealtime, get a big, big, big bag of popcorn and eat it. Now, we all know that popcorn doesn't have a lot of nutritional value, but you know it fills you up. So after you're filled on junk food, a bunch of popcorn, someone puts a steak in front of you or some other bowl of salad or broccoli or whatever it is, and you're like, nah. What's the matter? You're not hungry? No, I don't know. I just don't have an appetite. I'm sure you had an appetite. You had an appetite, but you filled yourself on junk food. And you know that junk food is not nutritional to your system, but what it does is it placates your hunger. It satisfies your hunger with a substitute. But in reality, it's not what you need. So you have no hunger for the real stuff because you're full of junk food, cheap substitutes. Let me tell you. You have a hunger for God. There is a hunger inside of you for the things of God, the purpose and the destiny, the communion, the intimacy. You were created to hunger for God. You were engineered to desire God. You were created from the foundation of the earth for something inside of you to say, I am not complete until I have God. Pascal said it, everybody has a God-shaped vacuum inside. When you do not have a relationship, fulfilling, intimate relationship with God, you hunger for something. The problem is a lot of us, when we hunger, you're going to a relationship and trying to have a relationship. Fill up your soul and have a man satisfy you and fill you and love you. But it's only like popcorn. You go away from that and you feel hungry. You want more. You're trying to drain it out of them. Fill me. But it feels like it's unsatisfying because in reality, you want a man to give you what only God can give you. Some of you men are looking for significance. You're looking for a purpose, a mission. You're looking for that which will fulfill your life. And so you're climbing the corporate ladder. You're trying to get more titles under your belt. And you're trying to accumulate more toys. And you have this drive that's pushing you forward. I want to succeed. I want to do something. But in reality, what you don't understand is that that drive within you is the drive to be what God has called you to be. The drive within you is to be, to live. Live on purpose with the mission, the significance that God has called you to. You're driven and you're throwing it into other things and you climb that ladder, and when you reach that pedestal, all you have is the next pedestal in front of you, because in reality what you need is God.
This was the second half of Pastor Mark's message called How to Escape Spiritual Lukewarmness. It's from his series called Deeper, Going Beyond Shallow Spirituality. This concludes our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.